I wanted to change tracks just a little bit, and I wanted to the development of Occupy Wall Street has, you know, it's been going on for 20 days now.
Yes.
There's definitely been, it seems like, an internal debates about how it's structured,
September
how it develops.
September 17th, and now it's October.
Today's October 7th, I think. So I guess it's 20 days,
yeah.
21 days.
Yeah, yeah.
So, could you, and I guess one of the things I'm interested about, because in Montreal they're trying to start up Occupy Montreal, and we'll probably go through a lot of the same questions and discussions and everything. One thing in particular I'm interested in hearing is how you've seen it evolve. And also, I know it was around October 1st that there was a People of Color working group that was formed.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what dynamic led to that? And maybe have things, even just in the few days, because it's been, I guess, less than a week then,
yeah.
since it started. Have you already seen changes in how people are approaching issues of race or inclusion or of diversity within the movement?
Okay. So,
I know that's a lot, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. My personal, people can't see me, but I'm actually a black woman. Short hair, slender, with a heart carved in the back of my head because my head is shaved. So I've been here, my personal story here has been great. People have been very kind, warm, loving. You know, I even got offers to be given free photography lessons. I'm like, excellent, wonderful, really nice. Like, I've gotten free food, you know, just, you know, I love it. But that's just me. I'm not necessarily walking around spouting my views about what it is to be black in America, or what it is to be colored in America, or what it is to be, you know, grown up living in the ghetto. I that has not been my calling card. Walking around, I've been doing more interviews, which means that other people have been doing the talking and I've been doing the listening. But I have heard, unfortunately, some stories where people have, you know, spoken truth to power about their experience as a person of color, and to bring up issues of, from, you know, from the perspective of people of color, and that has not gone so well at the General Assemblies. Unfortunately, I have been here, like I said, pretty steadily for the past week. I unfortunately was unaware of the fact that a woman from the NAACP was here and spoke at the General Assembly on October 3rd. I don't know how I missed that, or if it did or did not happen in the first place, but I missed that. There was incidents amongst the South Asian Coalition. There was an article written about that, and that's actually gotten over 50,000
I read
hits.
That one, yes.
Yes, yeah, indeed. Yeah. So, you know, right there shows that, like, you know, they brought up issues, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're not able to, you know, speak to those issues at the General Assembly. You know, there's a process that you go through where you say, you know, you say mic check, and then people are supposed to be able to listen to you, and some other people said mic check and they were listened to, but the brown contingent, the South Asian contingent, when they said mic check, all of a sudden it was, we're no longer hearing issues. And it has to specifically do with the language that they chose in order to define who they are. They used the word the human race, which they found they had some problems with that. And I'm trying to remember what the other thing they had with, they said that it was like something about, like, we struggled in our struggles were in the past, but now we're coming together. And they said that that was dismissive of the fact that in communities of color, we're still under a lot of struggle. Like, you know, people are like, oh my God, you know, the police, you know, you even mentioned, like, oh, you know, it's kind of weird to see so many police, but, like, you know, I've been stopped and frisked. You know, I was 22 years old, getting a master's degree in education and teaching in the South Bronx. I mean, can you say halo? Can you say saint?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, I'm just trying to go to a little party, a little club, and the police officers drove up in an unmarked vehicle with tinted windows, pulled open a sliding door. I don't know if there were going to be, you know, armed thugs coming out of there. I had no idea what was going on. This is Harlem back in 2002. And it turned out to be police officers, and they would not let us walk until we gave ID, because I came out of a building known for suspicious drug activity.
Wow.
So it was either, It was either I give them my ID and give them all my information, do everything but give them my blood, in other words. I'm sure I'm in their database now.
Yeah.
Or they were going to take us down to the precinct. And the issue is what? I was, you know, in a luxury building back in 2002, a building with, you know, one of the first buildings with doorman chandelier and a marble floor. So these are issues that, you know, are still going on. There have been over 700,000 black and Latino men, mostly, stopped and frisked in New York City last year alone. Wow. And that's by the NYPD statistics. That's not even a Freedom of Information Act that we get 20 years from now.
Right, yeah.
They're telling us that now. There have been, you know, full-page spread articles in the New York Times about the practice of stop and frisk just over the summer. So that's one issue. Other issues include, obviously, quality education. Other issues include the lack of adequate and decent places to get fresh fruits and vegetables. Most times it's corner stores, bodegas, that have a lot of junk food in those.
Just step over here real quick, just because there's...
And liquor stores. So, and not enough grocery stores. And of course, fast food establishments. Other issues include a much more comprehensive curriculum on our history, on the people of color's perspective history, pre, during, and post-colonial.
Right.
If you don't know who you are, then you won't know where to go or what to do for your future. I'm mangling that quote, but it's all good. You understand the point that I'm making.
Definitely, yeah.
So those are some of the issues that that need to be brought up, and that's going to be part of our platform for the POCs. I mean, you know, there's various reasons why people of color have not showed up here. One would be constant police surveillance, and some people may or may not have a criminal record, which they may or may not have deserved in the first place. Like I said, I have a record.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in the system for reasons that still boggle my mind 10 years later. So that's one reason. Reason number two, you know, it for the most part is, you know, mostly a white male dominated movement. That does not mean that it is not a progressive movement. On our Tumblr, pococcupywallstreet.tumblr.com, there is the open letter that was written by two white gentlemen of Occupy Wall Street. And that is literally the first sentence of that document. And they said that they understand that as white men, their voices would be heard a lot faster than anybody of color. He recognized issues where people of color did feel within this Occupy Wall Street movement marginalized, and he spoke to those issues and is committed to remedying that from now on. He even mentioned one issue where they were all marching and everybody got to speak for a minute or two, and a black woman wanted to speak, but 2 seconds before that they had said that they wanted to dismantle so that they could leave peacefully. And so inadvertently she was not able to talk, but the feeling still, it's still that residue of, oh man, and so we don't want this movement to replicate the same issues that it's trying to fight against,
right,
which is hegemonic, white supremacist, economically centered, you know, non-inclusive of the gender spectrum, of the sexual orientation spectrum. We don't want that to happen. So the POCs, the POC movement was organized, working group was organized specifically to ensure that our voices are included in the larger discourse of the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Okay.
We are very open and excited to all of the of this Occupy Wall Street movement, and we just want to make sure that the message is as broad as possible to make sure that they truly do occupy a space and time of freedom for all.
Right.
And that can only be done if all voices are heard.
Right.
And so all and our voices will be heard.
Excellent. And so one other thing that you just brought up that there's often a lack of people of color feeling comfortable being able to come, that it's, and just walking around here, like, I've noticed it is predominantly white.
Yes.
Do you, beyond the issue of perhaps security or police, do you think the message is getting out to neighborhoods outside of Brooklyn, outside of Manhattan, outside of, into communities like East Harlem?
Yes.
Or the Bronx, and are people talking about it? Does it seem like it's, the buzz is there, or is it also that the message just, or that people aren't doing outreach or things like that?
So another goal of the POC working group is expansion and outreach. So outreach would be, I mean, I already live in Harlem myself. You know, people in the Bronx, people in Brooklyn, people in Mount Vernon, even in the surrounding areas. Go to them. Go meet them where they are. Tell them, show them what the movement is. Explain to them what it is not. You know, deprogram them from the programming that they have since witnessed on mainstream media about what this is. And lead them to a larger understanding about why their voices and their presence needs to be heard, and they need to be seen. They need to be seen, and they need to be heard. So that would obviously mean that they would be here. They would get to participate in the General Assemblies. They get to participate in our working group and speak truth to power. That would also mean, perhaps, that we also occupy East Harlem, occupy South Bronx, occupy Jamaica, Queens, occupy, you know, Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I did an interview 2 days ago with two individuals from the Occupy the Hood movement.
Okay.
And this is before I knew about the POC movement. So, yeah, she simply had a sign, little cardboard sign, black woman, early 30s. That said, Occupy the Hood. So I was like, oh my God, I need to talk to her. And she said, yes, that, like, she recognizes that, you know, this movement is what they think is a crisis has been happening in for us in people in communities of color for generations. Or since, I mean, we as people of color have been in crisis from day one, you know. And then we even have a privilege to be in that crisis because the indigenous population, I mean, you don't, there's so few of them to even speak of, you know what I'm saying? So the Occupy the Hood movement was here, and, you know, she was just, you know, elucidating some of the issues, specifically healthcare and lack thereof, college loans that she doesn't know how she's going to be able to repay. She's in school for social work. So right now she's like an intake worker for HIV facility. And, you know, they're telling people who have AIDS that they have to wait 10 hours to be seen. And when they're seen, they get to be seen for 10 minutes. So you wait 10 hours for a 10-minute meeting. There's no way that you can remedy all the issues that a person with actual AIDS, you know, when the infection has really overtaken their immune system. There's no way that you can address all their issues in 10 minutes. So, again, you know, the goal would be to have these stories told.
Right.
Because they're not being told up until this point. What is being told, what is being spoken about is the larger issues that everyone, quote unquote, is facing now. Lack of jobs now. Lack of adequate health care because you don't have a job now. The fact that you might become homeless now, you know, but this has been a constant issue. There's been 50% black male unemployment rate in New York City the entire Bloomberg administration. So, you know, on the one hand, it's great that, you know, there's been a critical mass and a tipping point of individuals willing to do anything short of die for this movement. But this has been happening, and we have been, people of color have been, you know, utilizing all types of defense mechanisms and coping skills to deal with the ongoing chronic crisis in our communities. And that's not even to mention people of Arab descent and or Muslims and the fact that they are being surveilled. Their homes are being searched without warrants, and their phones are being wiretapped, and they're not allowed to have they're not allowed to get flying permits or driver's license, or if they, depending on where they choose to work, they're surveyed. Oh, why are you working for the DOT, the Department of Transportation? Why are you studying architecture in school?
Right.
Like what? Like,
yeah, ridiculous,
you know,
questions.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, but again, you know, racial profiling does exist.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so that needs to be addressed at this movement. It's like, there's like how deep and how systemic are you willing to reach down into the gut, into the barrels, into the are you willing to get really down and dirty about what change needs to really look, sound, and feel like in America? Or are you willing to be appeased by surface, cursory appeasements, such as, okay, bam, okay, we restore you back to middle class status. Okay, shut up. You know, go home and eat your cucumber salad with Chipotle something or other and have a nice day, you know.